Read me romance. Read, read me romance. Read me romance. Read, read me romance.
You could take a look in a book, that's fine. Or you could sit back, relax, and unwind and
read me romance. Read, read me romance.
Today's Read Me Romance is brought to you by my refrigerator. Sometimes I do actually find something inside you the 10th time I look. Welcome back to Read Me Romance. It is Mel, the Riley half of Alexa Riley, by myself this week. And I know you guys are probably anxiously awaiting to find out about Jeremiah and what happens because he claimed responsibility for the cakes. So I won't keep you long. I just want to say that, you know, he probably shouldn't have claimed the cakes. They were treating him like assholes, but there's just something about a good guy that he's just a good guy. So he did what he thought was the right thing. He took the fall, and there aren't a ton of those in books a lot of times. People are really into those bad boys, but Jeremiah is generally just a good guy, so he's always going to do the right good thing, and I gotta give him mad props for that, because to me, there's nothing more sweet and endearing than a guy just being good, because it's what he is. So I'll let you go on in there, and you guys can find out what happens.
Chapter 3, Jeremiah. Most days, my teammates don't have much to say to me. There isn't a whole lot of appeal in a one-sided conversation with someone who doesn't laugh when he's supposed to, or isn't interested in talking about girls like they're meat on a stick. Today, they're giving me even wider berth than usual, and for once, I'm not glad for the silence. As I sit in the common room of the house alone, I'm craving the noise, the dick jokes, the ever-present sounds of PlayStation. Anything to distract me from the fact that I couldn't show up at the mural this morning. That's where I was supposed to meet Birdie, and I didn't get there. My first promise to her, broken. From what I understand, guys break promises to girls all the time, especially promises made in the heat of the moment at a party. The possibility that Birdie thinks I spoke false is driving me crazier than anything. Crazier than the fact that I have a permanent smudge on my academic record for taking responsibility for the kegs at the party. I sigh and pull up a new internet search screen on my phone, typing in diabetic breakfast. Perhaps the silence is good for one thing. For the past couple hours, I've been reading everything I can find on diabetes, trying to understand what Birdie's day looks like. Caring for herself is so much more complicated than I would have guessed. Blood sugar checks, highs, lows, pump malfunctions, strict carbohydrate counting, insulin doses. It's impossible to get an understanding for it in one sitting, but I know I definitely can't bring her chocolate to apologize. This morning, I was on my way to the mural when I was called in to meet with my football coach and the dean. My father's abrupt reactions coming through over speakerphone. As usual, I said nothing, letting them decide what actions were appropriate. They gave me every opportunity to lay blame elsewhere, but I wouldn't do it. And hell, my mind wasn't even in the dean's office during the meeting. It was across campus with the girl who feels like mine. Because I've never had so much as a mild transgression, they let me go with a written warning. If I wasn't important to the football team, I'm sure the punishment would have been more severe, and I can't help but feel guilty about the special treatment. I should be consoled by the fact that none of my teammates got in trouble. Normally, I would be, having this proof that I can serve a purpose, that I'm dependable if nothing else. Today, though, I'm not consoled. If I'm honest with myself, I feel kind of used, and I want nothing more than to have Birdie's eyes on me. I want to hear her voice, because last night on the basement landing, she made me feel the opposite of used. She made me feel like one half of a whole, someone who's needed for more than his size, strength, and willingness to play the scapegoat. I want to see her, but there was no one at the mural to ask. I'm shit at finding people on social media, and my attempts came up empty. There's only one thing going for me. The mural didn't seem completed, so the Kappa Kappa Gamma pledges have to return to finish it sometime. While I stood there staring at the painting this afternoon, I noticed that each of the girls were given different sections of the mural to complete. All the styles were different and had their respective initials at the bottom. Birdie's part consists of two branches growing alongside each other, and I couldn't help stepping closer, looking for the tiniest details, as if the paint strokes might help me locate her. If she's not there when I go back tomorrow morning, I'm not sure what I'll do. Roam the campus shouting her name? I might find her that way, but she'll have to come visit me in a padded room. I drag my hands down my face, but drop them when the front door of the house bursts open. Two of my teammates are carrying paint cans and talking in hushed tones. "Hell hath no fury like a woman scorned, bro," one of them says. "I can't believe she called campus security. What, I'm supposed to never have a good time for the rest of my life just because we broke up?" He sets down the paint can in his hand. "She has to learn not to fuck with people. I could have gotten benched." "Don't worry, we'll send the message." They see me at the same time and exchange a look. "Hey, Big J." I nod and reach for the remote control, casually flipping on the television as they head up the stairs. But I continue to replay their conversation in my head through the remainder of the day and into the night, pretty positive they're going to do something stupid. My suspicion is confirmed when they knock on my bedroom door around midnight and ask me to come along and be their lookout. They are so confident that I'll get on board with whatever they're planning that they don't even tell me the plan. All I see are paint cans and black clothing. More than likely, they're bringing me along knowing I'll take the blame if they get caught. And on the way out of the house, something shifts inside me, like a boulder rolling in front of a hole in the dam, plugging the flow of constant doubt in myself. I might be intimidatingly large and lacking in social graces, but I'd never sneak out in the middle of the night to inflict harm or cause destruction. I'm the one who stops those kinds of things from happening. My teammates are half my size, but they are the ones people should avoid, aren't they? Not me. A weight falls from my shoulders as I follow my teammates across campus. I'm done making excuses for my presence. I'm done having to prove my worth. I'm sure as hell going to put a stop to whatever they have planned tonight. I don't expect them to open their cans of paint in front of the mural, preparing to throw a wave of white over the pledge's hard work, Birdie's work. As I snatch up one of the cans with a growl, intending to keep it away from the guys, I definitely don't expect Birdie to step out of the shadows with a horrified expression.
Birdie. I mean, I took the hint. Jeremiah just wasn't that into me. But as I watch him pick up a paint can and get ready to splash the contents over the mural I've been working on for a week, I wonder how I could be this wrong about someone's character. Maybe the pot smoke at the party went to my head in the most severe case of contact high in history, because the Jeremiah of my memory was a gentle giant, albeit with a dirty streak a mile wide. He wasn't an asshole vandal. And yet, here we are. We lock eyes in the darkness, and he pauses with the paint can in midair, his mouth moving in a soundless denial. Over what? I wish I hadn't snuck out of my dorm to put the finishing touches on my section, thanks to my inability to sleep. I wish I'd just stayed in bed and never found out he was capable of something so mean-spirited. This is for the best, though, isn't it? Yes. When Jeremiah didn't show up at the mural this morning, as promised, I had some time to think. This isn't only my college experience. For the last year, I've been living for two. My choices have to take my twin Natalie into consideration. What would she have wanted? What path would she take? Who would she have chosen to be with if she were still alive? Not Jeremiah, he wouldn't have been her type. She would have been dancing in the kitchen around her love interest while he tapped the keg. I'm trying. I'm trying so hard to live for both of us, to honor her memory with everything I do, and maybe I take it too far sometimes, but you don't just lose a twin and move on. It's not possible. We were created at the same time, grew into humans, side by side, shared thoughts and secrets. For all of our differences, sometimes I think we even shared a brain. Last night, when I left the party, I was easing into the idea of being selfish with one thing. Him. Jeremiah. He was going to be all for me. And yeah, even considering doing something so opposite of Natalie filled me with guilt. But I was weak. I still am weak for him. Even as he prepares to do this awful thing. This awful thing that makes it much easier to walk away. Stay the course. Continue living the only way I know how to do now. Half for me and half for her. It's the only way I know how to keep her with me. Jeremiah takes a step in my direction. Birdie. Behind him, paint splatters on the wall. Wow. Direct hit. Almost half the surface is taken up by a wave of white rivulets running down over the mural, eating up the careful choices of color and hours of work. Grief thickens in my stomach, like an overbaked cake, when I think of the unlikely friends I've made while standing at the wall with a paintbrush in my hand. The endless sketches in my backpack of my portion, a tree trunk that splits into two branches, one for me and one for Natalie. It's completely gone. My throat closes. Tears prick behind my eyelids, and I start backing away. No way am I going to let Jeremiah see me crying. Not a fucking chance. I turn and run full speed down the path, the wind roaring in my ears, but not loud enough to drown out the sound of him calling me. His voice is so loud and deep, it's a wonder the ground isn't shaking under my pounding boots. I'm not answering him and I'm not going back. I just want to make it to the sanctuary of my dorm and lick my wounds. Did he like me? Or was what happened between me and Jeremiah nothing more than a keg party hookup? How come I can't believe that even after I saw him wrecking the mural? As I crawl into bed, still dressed, the grief and questions in my head are vying so loudly to be heard, they seem to cancel each other out, and I fall asleep face down on my pillow, the softness soaked in my tears. When the knock sounds on my dorm room door, it feels like only a minute has passed since I fell asleep. My eyes are gritty from salt and moisture. There's also a distant ache in the center of my chest. Just like the night before, I dreamed of Jeremiah. Dreamed of being held against his chest, hearing the reassuring thunder of his heart. It seems my subconscious needs a little more time to catch up with reality. Another knock jolts me from my thoughts, and I climb out of bed, sending my snoring roommate a dirty look. Or maybe I should be grateful she's a heavy sleeper, since I was free to sob without being discovered last night. I put a hand over my mouth to trap the morning breath and open the door. On the other side is a pledge I recognize, and before she says a word, I know she's here to tell me the mural was destroyed. My shock and anguish last night prevented me from coming up with a plan to break the news to my new friends, but it appears I've been saved the trouble. She's visibly upset. Someone destroyed all of our work. She backs into the hallway, and I follow her, both of us whispering so we don't wake the entire floor. It's totally gone, except for, like, some of the bottom left corner. Am I going to rat out Jeremiah and his buddies? I haven't gotten that far. It's approximately the worst idea in the world to become enemies with the football team at the outset of my college career, but I can't let them get away with being horrible people. I don't have it in me to look the other way. I have to tell you something. Now this linebacker dude is, like, fixing it? I don't know. People say he's been there since this morning, cleaning up and trying to recreate what was there before. Hold up. Linebacker dude? Yeah, you probably saw him at the party the other night. She shivers. That 6-foot-1,000 Frankenstein-looking guy? I take exception to the monster comparison, but no one else is that tall. Jeremiah? Is he the scary one? He's not. I break off. Why am I defending him? He wrecked the mural. And now he's fixing it. What the hell is going on? I sidestep back into my room and snag my shower caddy off my dresser. Weird. I'm going to go make myself look human and go check it out. After I say goodbye to my friend, I dash down to the common bathroom, brush my teeth, wash my face, and yank a brush through my hair. While my roommate continues to sleep like the dead, I throw on the only thing I have clean. A turquoise shift dress my sister-in-law bought me on a futile quest to imbue my wardrobe with color. Although, I guess it's not so futile, since I'm wearing it now as I jog down the path that leads from my dorm room to the quad. I skid to a stop at the edge of the grass, continuing in slow motion on my way toward the mural. Son of a gun. Jeremiah is indeed standing in front of it, surrounded by a crowd of at least 200 students. I wouldn't even be able to see him if he wasn't a skyscraper. Obviously, uncomfortable with the attention he's receiving, his shoulders are bunched, his jaw clenched. But that intense focus I remember about him is narrowed down to what he's doing. The slow, intricate strokes of the paintbrush that's dwarfed in his huge hand. I have to shoulder through the onlookers to reach him, and it's like he senses me, the ham hock-sized muscles in his back stiffening before he even looks over his shoulder. But then, he does. An awareness rushes over my skin, head to toe. How anyone can find this man less than beautiful is totally beyond me. In the darkness of the basement, he was handsome, unique. In the light, he's a diamond, shining in the rough. Can't everyone see that? His eyes are light blue, lit up by the morning sun, and there is so much honesty and integrity in them, I know on the spot that I've made a mistake. Birdie, he rasps. You were trying to stop them, I whisper, wanting to kick myself. Weren't you? His eyelids drop, his big chest lifting in a heavy breath. He nods once. I'm sorry for running away. I understand. I've never had anyone look at me the way Jeremiah does. Like I'm a new species of flower he's desperate to pluck out of the ground and examine. But he's clearly holding himself back from following through. With one final, long look in my direction, he turns his back to the crowd, determination in the lines of his strong body. I'm going to fix it for you. No, you're not. God help me. When he turns his head and gives me a look that says, "Oh yes, sweetheart," I fall flat out in love with Jeremiah. I skid straight into a home plate made of daisies right there in front of an audience of hundreds, wearing a stupid turquoise dress. I was already in love with the gentle giant, but that show of stubbornness seals the deal. It speaks to mine, and they marry together as perfectly as peanut butter and jelly. Which, of course, is scary. Really scary. Because I've already decided things won't work out between us. I can't be selfish and have him all for myself without taking Natalie into consideration. What would she want? Deep down, I know there's something unhealthy about needing approval from my sister, but I don't know how to stop without saying goodbye to her. Jeremiah goes back to painting, and I stoop down, snatching up the closest brush. You're doing it again, trying to get acceptance from your friends by doing their dirty work. I jab the brush into a can full of sky blue paint. I'm not letting you.
I'm not budging.
Me either. My chin goes up. You don't even know what the mural is supposed to look like. You only saw it in the dark last night, and you didn't show up yesterday.
I did show up. Late. He catches my gaze and holds it. I was in the dean's office, but I came. You were gone. I remember everything about it, though. Mostly your section.
It takes gallons of willpower not to drop the brush and climb into his arms.
Jeremiah came. He didn't blow me off or regard me as an insignificant kegger hookup. With him standing in front of me, looking so sturdy and intense and honest, I wonder where I got the nerve to doubt him.
Why were you in the dean's office?
He stares off over my shoulder. You look very pretty in that dress, Bertie.
Are you stalling?
I say, totally breathless over his gruff compliment.
Yes. You're not going to like why I was with the dean.
He sighs and continues painting.
I took the blame for having beer at the party. I wish I hadn't done it. I'd already decided to stop covering for everyone before they ruin your mural. And now, I just want to kill them with my bare hands.
A corner of my mouth ticks up. So now they do have a reason to think you're scary.
Yeah.
A muscle rises and falls in his throat.
You were crying.
I'll deny it in court. No jury will believe you.
He grunts, and oh my God, the deep, resonant sound makes my vagina clench. Who knew?
If you're dead set on repainting this mural, I have a picture on my phone. I fish it out of my dress pocket with my free hand and pull up the most recent picture. As he looks it over, I take the opportunity to study him.
What made you decide to stop letting your friends take advantage?
He's quiet for a moment.
I met someone who I thought deserved better. Made it easier for me to believe that could be true.
Oh? I bite my lips to hide my smile. That's cool. For the next hour, we paint in companionable silence. And I mean companionable. Most of the time, I hate extended silences and rush to fill them with nonsense or random observations. But I don't feel the need to do that around Jeremiah. Silence is his natural state, and it gives me the freedom to live in my own thoughts, which are almost entirely about him. How he's a terrible artist, but doesn't hesitate to attempt pink roses and the cerulean pond. His birds actually look like roadkill.
I notice the fit of his jeans, too. The tree trunk thickness of his thighs, the muscular cords that aren't hidden whatsoever by the denim.
He catches me staring at them and tilts his head as if surprised someone finds inhuman strength attractive. Apparently, this girl does. I wish I'd worn leggings or something. This dress makes me feel sexually vulnerable, and I'm too emotionally vulnerable for that. As we paint, I intentionally avoid my section of the mural that once depicted two branches growing from the same trunk, representing me and Natalie. It was hard enough painting it the first time, but doing it twice? With a deep breath, I turn around to find the crowd has dispersed, except for a few lingering looky-loos. It's early afternoon and the sky has turned to charcoal, some ominous clouds beginning to move in overhead.
Looks like rain, Jeremiah says without taking his attention off the horrible lily pad he's painting. I wonder if my game tonight will be canceled.
The dean didn't sideline you?
Jeremiah shakes his head, brow furrowing.
You wish he'd made you sit out,
don't you?
I scrutinize his profile. Even if you didn't do the crime, you want to serve the time.
I just think someone should. No one is paying for this crime either.
You are, Jeremiah.
He laughs under his breath.
You think spending time with you is a punishment, Bertie?
A beat passes.
I spent yesterday worried I might never find you. Then, last night, you were crying, thinking the worst of me. I wouldn't move from this spot for anything. not with you smiling and talking to me. This is the furthest thing from a punishment I could get. Jeremiah, I have to swallow several times. I don't know what this is, but he turns to me and waits. Let's be friends, okay? Unerringly, my eyes stray to the branches of the mural that are mostly covered in white paint, and Jeremiah follows my line of vision, frowning. Can you just be my friend for now? His attention returns to me, and I can tell he has questions, but he only nods firmly. I am your friend, he says, and I'm going to be more when you're ready. With that, he returns to painting. He said, when, not if. Why does that confidence make my panties so damp? I blow out a breath and go back to working on my pond, viewing the vivid color through a lens of horniness. Did you eat breakfast, Birdie? Shoot. I can hear my brother growling at me all the way from Florida. No, I've been kind of distracted. Jeremiah throws me some worried side eye and crouches down to rummage through his backpack. I watch with a tight throat as he removes a sugar-free breakfast bar and a can of Diet Coke. I know you're not supposed to drink juice unless your blood sugar is low. That's perfect, I interrupt breathlessly, watching as he stows the paintbrush under his arm and unwraps the bar, handing it over. Did you bring this stuff for me? He shrugs. I was hoping you'd show up sooner or later, either to yell at me or let me apologize. I wanted to be prepared either way. He eyes my purse, where I've left it on the ground. You need to check your blood sugar first, right? Yes. He holds my brush as I go through the quick, practiced motions of pricking my fingers and leaving a tiny sample on the test strip. There's a beep, and the number blinks up at me. 87. I'm good to go. Thank you, I whisper, hitting the buttons that will send the correct amount of insulin to my pump. That was really thoughtful. And seriously, I'm not sure my defenses can take too many more hits from this man. Already he's disarmed me by trying to repair the mural damage. Now he's brought me a diabetic-friendly breakfast, and I'm gasping for air on the battlefield, croaking requests for a medic. I replace my meter in my purse and take a huge bite of the breakfast bar, swallowing. Was it your dream to play college football?
I like the sport. I wouldn't say it was a dream.
He shifts beside me and touches his brush back to the wall.
I've always wanted to coach, but...
But what?
Well, I don't talk much. Coaching requires a lot of it.
You talk the normal amount.
To you, Birdie. Just to you.
Okay, he's making it really hard to stand by that whole let's be friends business. Well, we'll keep practicing and it'll get easier. With other people. His thighs flex, and I try not to make it obvious that I'm staring, wondering what that slide of muscle would feel like against my palm. If you want to coach, you should coach. It's almost visible, the way Jeremiah seems to tuck that away for further review later.
Why are you painting every corner of this mural except your own?
He tucks his tongue into his cheek.
Seems you would know that section best of all.
I do. I know it by heart. There's a rumble overhead, and we both look up at the darkening clouds. He raises an eyebrow at me. I shrug, and we keep working. But the conversation we were having before lingers between us unfinished. I've spoken to Jason and Naomi a lot about Natalie, but I've never let them all the way in. I'm not sure what holds me back from telling them I'm living halfway for her, but whatever that hesitation is called, I don't seem to have it with Jeremiah. The tree I painted has two branches,
one for me, one for my sister. I hear droplets of rain begin to land on the pavement behind me, but thankfully, none of them reach the mural, thanks to the decent overhang above us. Everything I do, she kind of comes along with me, you know? I'm still taking her into consideration. If she were still here, she would be doing the same for me. There's enough sympathy in Jeremiah's eyes to fill the clouds above.
How?
She didn't wake up. I give a jerky shrug. She went to bed healthy, so there's no way to be satisfied with any explanation. Sudden death syndrome. I force myself to smile. Very in character for Natalie. She was really into drama. I feel Jeremiah's lips in my hair, and the turbulence inside me stills, like the smoothing of ocean water after a wave passes.
I feel her around when you talk. I'm sorry we can't see her.
The wind rushes out of me. Thank you for saying the exact perfect thing. I use my wrist to swipe the dampness from beneath my eye. How do you do that?
They should be scared by their lack of good judgment. You said that to me.
His fingers trace my cheek, gently turning me to face him.
You're not so bad at saying the right thing. Remembering that made it a lot easier to paint a shitty rainbow in front of 200 people.
My laugh is watery and lacking in oxygen. How am I not levitating right now? Jeremiah drops the paintbrush in his free hand, stepping closer. I see in my peripheral vision that we're alone now, the rain having driven the students away. And then I see nothing but him. Blue eyes that brim with tenderness and a definite edge of heat. A rough-cut jaw, my name on his lips. If I let myself, I think I could float up to meet his mouth in a kiss. But there is still one strand of my reservations keeping me planted on the ground, in limbo.
One of the offense coaches is retiring this year, Jeremiah says. Since I graduate this year and I don't think I'll fit into a cubicle, or desk, for that matter. I was thinking of applying. Sticking with football, but in a way I like better.
He sifts his fingers into my hair, seeming fascinated by the texture.
I don't want to go somewhere where I can't practice talking with my friend.
Talking, I whisper. Practice, right. Jeremiah's gaze drops to my mouth, and his jaw bunches. That strand holding me to the ground frays a little more, before snapping. There are other things we could practice, just to help each other out. You know, as friends and all. His chest shudders.
Like what?
The words are barely out of his mouth before I go up on my toes, his mouth coming down to meet mine halfway.
Welcome back. I know Tessa's really killing it this week with these cliffhangers each day. You guys are probably going to want to murder her by the end of the week. But as always, it's wonderful, and I promise it's going to be even better. It keeps getting. It is probably one of my favorite Tessa Bailey books for sure. But don't forget that you can meet Birdie in the Girl series. If you want to check that out, the first one is on sale for 99 cents. And the second one is actually the one you meet Birdie in. So you have Getaway Girl and Runaway Girl. You can get the first one for 99 cents right now. If you want to go ahead and grab that. And also the pre-order is in the notes as well, which Tessa said there's going to be bonus content in there. So you guys should check that out as well. I also wanted to mention that Katie Robert has a book on sale this week in the King series. So you guys should go ahead and check that out as well. You guys have seen it floating around. It's been on our pre-order for weeks, and it's finally live. I know people have been dying for it to come out, and today is the day. So I will make sure that one is in the notes as well, so you can grab that up. And I will see you guys tomorrow for my last day all alone, and it'll just be me again. You guys have been saying I don't talk enough, so now you get a week filled with me. All right, I'll see you guys later.
Read me romance. Read me romance. Read me romance. Read me romance. You could take a look in a book, that's fine. Or you could sit back, relax, and unwind and read me romance. Read me romance.